This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 493, recorded Wednesday, June 17th, 2020, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Dum-dum-dum. I love how you give me the opportunity to contribute to the opening theme every time. Almost.
Well, you know, next time you can do the da-dum-da-dum-dum, and I'll just harmonize with that.
That's all right. I do what I can do, and no more.
But we do have another exciting episode of the show. I forget, where was I last week? I can't remember where I am from week to week anymore because time has no meaning. So I am once again in the bunker. I can't remember if I was in the bunker last week or if I was still at home. I think I was here last week.
Don't ask me. I don't know these things.
I usually say.
But I usually don't remember.
I believe last week I was here and the week before I was home, and I don't know where I'm going to be next week because no one needs me to be physically present. Unlike you, I can be anywhere and still get the same amount of grief and aggravation that I get if I went to an office. But I get to save commuting times. But I do, as I was telling before the show, I do have to drive the 100 miles back to New York because I cannot get a package delivered here. Everything is they're telling me won't get delivered till the 25th. Unless I give up on Amazon and go with a company that actually believes in shipping out items within the 2 weeks from when you order them. It's just fun to go on there and, oh, I'd like to order an item. Oh, you want it at your home? We'll have it there tomorrow. Oh, you want it where you are now? No, we'll have it there by the 25th. By the way, they've been saying the 25th since I got here.
Maybe they mean the 25th.
Yeah, but
maybe there's something happening on the 24th that means shipping can continue.
Quite possibly, but nobody else seems to have a problem. The UPS and the FedEx people come every day. There is no postal delivery service here, which I think is what the issue is. But the post office is down the street, even though I don't want to go in there because who knows who's in there. But I'm trying to stay safe. I would go, you know, put on my face mask and go in there and get the package that was there. But they're not sending it. They clearly have it nearby in New Jersey, which is not that far away. But either way, that means that I couldn't get the equipment to properly hook up the board here since I missed a part. And I am using a USB microphone. I sort of like the fancy stuff. But you said you couldn't tell the difference. So.
Yeah, sounds fine.
Okay, hopefully our listeners. But it occurs to me, you know, I was thinking about this, and I don't know if this is a stupid idea, but I think I may have figured out what we can do for our 10-year anniversary, which is coming up.
Ooh, what?
Well, you know, I've been watching all of these people that who, you know, they have these like open Zoom chats. So all we have to do is have one episode where the Zoom is publicly known to people who might want to come and participate and somehow protect against malicious entities. So some sort of, but then anybody who wants to stop by and say hello while we're recording the show can just show up. So we find a way to that people can get the link privately. So again, it's just not posted publicly where anybody can show up and show inappropriate items. That's the problem with Zoom recently. What do you think about that idea? An open podcast for one night.
Scary.
Again, the scary possibility is that no one will show up.
Okay.
So are you willing to give it a shot? Because if no one shows up, we just do the podcast. And I will think about this for a week. If anybody wants to write in and say that if we did an open podcast one week where anybody could show up, obviously we would have administrative control to mute somebody for saying something, not that we didn't agree with, but inappropriate. But would anybody be interested in showing up for such an event if we had an open mic night? It could be interesting, or it could be the worst decision or the worst idea I ever had.
Yep.
Doesn't that make it extra fun?
And scary.
Don't worry, I'll turn off I think you can turn off people's ability to show their cameras if you're scared of that. But either way, I thought it was a good idea because we're both, I'm not going to say we do the minimum required for the show, but I know you've said you show up.
Most of the time.
I know that I could sort of, I know I could do more for the show. I think I prepare stories, I read up, I make sure I have something to talk about, but there are other things that I could do. I could be out there hustling. You know, I could be emailing people, hey, would you like to be a guest on Android Buffet? Or hey, how would you like to sponsor our show? So we can get that that sweet, sweet Audible money. By the way, it was not that sweet, sweet money. If I thought somebody would pay us a lot more money, I would say, let's sell ourselves out again. I've silenced you, Jerry.
You have. Sell out. The concept of selling myself is just, I don't know what to say.
I'm more saying that nobody has offered us enough money to make it worth it.
Okay.
I'm not saying we would sell ourselves. It's just nobody has named a good price. Although technically, if you want to go just by the people who've given us money, the people who are still donating using our PayPal link are very much appreciated. I'm putting that toward hosting, which is our only fixed cost at the moment. So thank you. We appreciate it. And if anybody wants to say hi, hi. I should have announced it, but I didn't notice it until after last week's episode that Self, the only event that has ever hosted a live episode of Android Buffet, had its online event this past weekend.
Yeah.
Including a social component, which I did not attend. But I was tempted just to see how you do a social remotely, curiosity. But I thought I would mention it. Because events are increasingly moving online, and it seems to work. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to get a hotel. You don't have to see other human beings. It's perfect.
At work, we every other week, we do a thing we call happy hour, where it's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon for them. And everybody just stops working. We all hop on a Zoom call, cameras on, and drink if you want, and just chat.
Sounds nice. Except for the drinking. I'm not much of a drinker, but being together and doing the same things nice. But either way, we'll see if it works for us. I know people are listening. Bad things happen, they send us. So either way, that's that. In good news from the world of my home automation projects, I have continued upgrading the weather. So now my weather station here at my remote location is now much more robust. It involved a electric saw. I had to build a mount for the weather station. Because of what happened, I think I mentioned at the time that somebody about a year ago actually took the weather station and tried to throw it out. So they removed the weather station and put it in the trash can.
Interesting.
So after that, so this time with the upgrade, the weather station is mounted to a more robust mount. That doesn't mean somebody can't make off with it and put it in a local trash can, but it means that it looks much less trashy. Although admittedly, I did use scrap wood, so I don't know how pretty it is. And it is calibrated. I'm reasonably certain that I got south pointing south this time. I think it was a little southeast before. So I know all of the important statistics about what's going on here weather-wise. And I'm sorry, Jerry, but it's been cold by your standards.
Yep. But it's cold here right now by my standards. We're mid-70s.
Well, the high so far today has been 80, but the low is 59.5. Oh, excuse me, the mean was 59.5. The low is 47.2. So far this month, the lowest temperature we've seen here has been 31.5. Also, for some incomprehensible reason, the outside temperature is now reading not applicable, but I'll worry about that later. Last time that happened, it was my batteries. Shouldn't have reused the one from the old sensor. Anyway, so that's what's been going on with me. I've mostly been working on weather and a few other things, and I inventoried a lot of more food, so I know a lot more about what's happening here. That was a lot of fun. I have my cell phone with a barcode scanner app, and I would scan the barcode and it would read out the name of the product and tell me that if I had it or not. So I figured out how to do inventory with my phone. Again, another thing to do. Moving along, we have some news. The Android 11 beta. So the beta is now available as of a week ago today when we last did our show.
Yay!
It does include some interesting things, including that they are making Android against 3 key themes: people, controls, and privacy. So on the people thing, they are making it more people-centric, which means conversation notifications have a dedicated section in the notification shade. You have your bubbles. You have your consolidated keyboard suggestions. So autofill apps and input method editors actually can offer context-specific entries together. There's voice access for people who control their phone entirely by voice.
That's cool awesome.
Yeah, they focused on device and media controls. So by long pressing the power button, you can bring up device controls for smart home devices instantly. As I said before, when they talked about this, I'm still worried that a whole bunch of people are going to spam my power menu, like 15 different apps that I don't want there.
Yeah, it's just going to get heavier and heavier.
Yeah, I will let them give me an interface where I can say, I want to turn this off. Not everything in there, but like app by app. Also, media controls. They made it easier to switch the output device for audio or video content, and it'll be there in an upcoming release. They're adding one-time permissions, which we've talked about before, which is gives an app access to the microphone camera location just one time. So every time it asks, you have to say yes. It's also going to auto reset permissions, because if you haven't used an app for an extended period of time, it will reset their permissions associated with the app and notify the user. So essentially, it won't allow an app that you haven't used for a while to keep getting things in the background.
Nice. That's an interesting option that I would not have thought of, but I find to be intelligent.
Well, again, what I want to know is what constitutes an extended period of time. I sort of like, you know, as much as it annoys me, I sort of like the 30-day period. Like, if I haven't touched something in 30 days, remind me. By the way, do you still want to let this thing do that? Beyond that, background location was mentioned before, which is they will need to get approval to access background location to prevent misuse. They in Android 11, they doubled the number of updatable modules from the Play Store.
Cool.
So again, you don't need an OS release for these things. They also claim that it is more developer-friendly.
It is, for one specific reason, but the other stuff's cool too.
The gated most breaking changes until you target Android 11, or the platform stability release milestone where all API and behavior changes will be complete so you can finalize your app updates knowing the platform's stable.
Cool.
Well, no, which one of those ones were you referring to?
None of them. It's the part where you can now debug wirelessly. You don't have to have your, or you won't have to have your phone connected to the computer with a USB cable in order to debug it.
Yeah, and that's part of the Android Studio model where they've made a lot of improvements as well. There's more with Kotlin. I know you like Kotlin.
Java is not great. Kotlin makes it better.
Again, good things happening. They are also bringing the Google Assistant to all of their smart devices, not just the first party ones.
Cool.
So if you have a third party device that has the Google Assistant, the voice match feature will now be present, as well as all the other features like default speaker, etc., which is good because I do still have those Lenovo device, the Lenovo smart display. If you are following the Pixel line, Pixel shipments reached 7.2 million in 2019, which is more than OnePlus.
Yeah, it's 7.2 million more than one.
OnePlus, not one, as in the company OnePlus who makes OnePlus phones.
Oh, does that mean it's like one of the most popular phones? No, because they're talking about all Pixels.
Yes, they're saying the Pixel line exceeded the distribution of the OnePlus line in the same year.
Nice. Pixels are good phones, I think.
Yeah, they're, you know, had I waited, I might have ended up with a 3A instead of a 3, but I still have not paid for the 3. They offered 0%
You
financing.
Stole it?
No, Google was offering 0% financing, so I pay a little a month. I can pay it off anytime I want. But why should I give Google all the money when they will let me pay it off in installments and not charge me for it? I can keep my money and do stuff with it. It also gives me a timeline. When I've paid off the phone, it's time to sell it. I wonder how many months I have. I'll have to look. Anyway, but I like financing if they don't charge me for it. So as long as there's no interest, why pay up front?
Yep.
Moving along. There is an opinion piece. We don't need a Google Home replacement, but we're probably getting one because there are rumors of what the new one, and I forget what the code name is, but they are working on something. Do you think that there's still a place for the Google Home, which is the larger sized Google speaker, or should it people jump from the mini up to the smart display? Should there be an intermediate product?
Yes, I think there should. I think choice is good.
Yeah, but it's a matter of, is there enough demand for an intermediate product? Wouldn't it be better to do what they said they were going to do on the Mini, which is allow the Mini to give the Mini an external jack, which means you could hook it into any speaker. If you look
I would
at
say Amazon, let the market decide whether it's useful enough.
Yeah,
if it sells, then yes, it is. If it doesn't, then no.
Yeah, but if you look at Amazon by comparison, after Google discontinued the Chromecast Audio, they brought out the Echo Input, which is essentially an Echo device that has everything but the speaker part, so you have to plug it into your own speaker. And I'm surprised that Google might not do that. I can understand why you get rid of the Chromecast Audio. It only did audio output. But if you added in the microphone part and just said, we're going to allow you to output your music this device to your own speakers, that might work well if they put in the Google Assistant part.
I agree.
So I could see more of a call for that than I can for the Google Home. I'm happy they got rid of it on one level because the thing looked like an air freshener. But I want to, you know, let them impress me with whatever they're going to do next. And if they can find a way to impress me about a medium-sized smart speaker when there's a small one and there's a large one, then have at it. If you have some time and you're missing the fact that Google I/O isn't there, you can go to 11 weeks of Android. So this week on the 15th, which was Monday, they through the end of this week, all of their activities are about people and identity. So instead of doing one big gigantic event, they're doing one theme per week for the next 11 weeks. So this week is people and identity. Next week is machine learning. The week after that, privacy and security. The week after that, Android 11 compatibility. The week after that, which is July 13th to the 17th, languages. After that, Android Jetpack, Android developer tools, app distribution and monetization, Android Beyond phones, games and media, and the final week, the 24th to the 28th, is UI.
I kind of wish UI was like the first, but I guess they need maximum time to flesh that out, to smooth it over.
Also, they released 12 of the Android talks that were originally scheduled for I/O on YouTube. That includes talks on Android 11 beta tools and framework distribution, what's new in Android, what's new in Android development tools, what's in Android Jetpack, so you can just go and watch them. And the videos, none of them seem to be the longest one is 24 minutes, which is the Jetpack one, but the rest of them don't exceed usually 20. Oh, no, excuse me, missed one. The development tools is 28, and what's new in Android is 32. So if you want to watch those videos, they're out there.
Nice.
Yep, I appreciate Google. Not about everything, but I do appreciate it. Moving along, there was another article where that I thought was worth sharing, where Joe Mehring of Android Central broke out his 7-year-old Android 4.4 phone, which was a 2013 Moto X. And if you remember, that was a phone, I think I had the Moto X 3, and I think that might have been the 3, I forget. But either way, he broke that phone out and compared it to his current Android 10 running to just see how the operating system had changed over the last. And again, it's a very interesting article if you want to see how has Android improved since version 4.4.
It's interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's very thorough.
Yeah. And
that's why I'm not going to read it out loud.
Yeah. And the bottom line is Android, if you someone on Android 4.4 is probably just as comfortable on 10, they are largely with.
Yeah, a lot of stuff that they did was user-facing features, which is good, but the core experience has not changed, unless you count the fact that they changed the menu buttons. I know it's still annoying both of us because I think both of us disabled it, the gesture stuff. I haven't gone back and tried that again. I haven't had the heart. Anyway, Google announced two features that are coming that they haven't unveiled in any beta, but the Block Store, which stores authentication tokens for apps, so when you log in with a new device, you'll be logged into everything. Now, that sounds really good for convenience, but sort of worries me on a security level. How do you feel about the idea that Google is storing the tokens to get into all of your accounts?
I don't like it, not one bit, zero, nothing, no, this is not cool.
And, you know, I may have to look into whether or not there's anything that they did that would make me feel more comfortable with that, such as they're encrypting it with something that I have to decrypt on my phone so that they don't actually have access to it. I might feel more comfortable that way, but I haven't heard that they're doing that.
I don't like it.
Yes, I know. You said you didn't like it. But I don't like it either. I'm just saying that I would like to hear something that would make me feel less worried about it. The other one is OneTap for sign-in with Google, which is, again, bringing those sign-in with Google buttons to more sites. Woo.
I just finished coding one up.
You cut up a sign-up with Google button?
Coding.
Coding. I think you said cutting. So again, their advantage is that if you don't want to do your own user management, you can let Google do it. But usually when given a choice, I will set up my own local account, most services. That's my decision. People like options and options. Unless those options, Google has the passwords to all of your accounts. Again, I want to hear how they're protecting. And then when we get to this final question, should Gmail and Android be a vehicle for other Google services? So this is sort of the question. It's related to a story that appears somewhat later. Gmail for Android will get a Google Meet tab built into the app. And the question being, why does the Gmail app need a Meet tab when there is a Meet app? If you want to use Meet, install the Meet app. Now, if they say, if you install the Meet app, there will be integration with the Gmail app, fine. But why is it, even if you don't have Meet installed, suddenly it's going to prompt you to use that product? The same sort of thing with Duo, where now, you know, the video call options of Duo are integrated pretty closely into the contact app. But what if I wanted to, I wanted all my video calls, instead of going over Duo, I wanted to go over, let's say, WhatsApp. I don't, but I'm just using it as an example of a popular platform that you might want to use instead of Duo. Do I have that choice to integrate that closely into the operating system and Google Apps, or do I not? So is it a good thing that that essentially Google is using the Android operating system as a vehicle for other services, whether you want them or not? Are they closing off that what they used to have, which is you can replace any part of the operating system in an app, even if theirs are the default?
Sometimes I like the option.
I like the option too. I'm just saying, is it the fact that, you know, that they're sort of pushing it this aggressively good or bad? Not that the option, it's more the fact that they seem to be using it to aggressively push their products as opposed to just them being there.
If it was, I
prefer.
I'm going to go with I'm fine with it because it's a free app to us. Free apps get paid for with eyeballs, and they're so they can use the real estate. I'm okay with it personally.
Well, for me, it's more that I always felt that Google was the company that said our apps stand on our own. We don't have to do that sort of thing. It's disappointing. They feel that the only way that they can get that level of eyeballs is to really push it in front of us instead of just saying we made the better product. But anyway, we'll see. I haven't seen this new Gmail Meet integration. And I know that when the two of us tried Meet, the only thing that we really liked compared to Zoom was the fact that they would automatically transcribe it.
Yeah, that was interesting. But it didn't help our listeners. It just helped. I just found it interesting.
Well, we could, you know, we could use that to release a transcript.
Could we?
I'm not saying we need to release it, in theory.
Was it recorded somewhere?
Who would read it? I think so. I think you can save it. I don't think I did save that one, but I'm saying if that is a feature, as far as I know, that you could actually save the transcription. However, what would be the benefit?
We could take that recording, extract the transcript, and put a transcript on the website just like Steve Gibson does.
Yes, but people actually would read Steve Gibson's transcript. Would anybody read ours? Although he doesn't do it programmatically, he hires somebody.
Right. I don't think so. Maybe. I don't know.
Yes, because I can just picture all of those fans sitting around reading the transcript of the show in order to capture all of our words of wisdom.
I don't have words of wisdom.
I do, but they're very subtle. If you're paying attention, you'll probably miss them.
And if you're not paying attention, you'll certainly miss them.
They might just hit you accidentally. If you have used Google Tasks and you use Google Calendar, integration between the two is live for some people.
For some.
Not for me. Also, I'm horrible at task management. I have to be more organized. I keep trying, but I have not found a system that works very well for me, other than my head. And it's not a perfect system either. Too many things in there. The Play Store will make app bundles a requirement in 2021. So if you remember, app bundles are where it can essentially update parts of your app instead of having to download the entire thing. So your app consists of bundles of code. So this is a good thing, because why should you download the parts of the code that didn't change? Why don't you download the part of the code that did?
Yeah.
Although it does make it annoying if you want to sideload, or at least harder if you want to sideload.
Okay. Is it? Does it, though?
Yes. Because remember, your apps are bundled, which you can't just download one file. You have to download a bunch of things. It's a pain. Files by Google may have a safe folder to hide and protect your files.
Ah, that's funny.
Now, funny is somebody referred to it as the porn folder. Jerry, I think you'll like this one. Google's map platform is now open for immersive real-world games like your favorite game.
Wow.
Because this is the perfect time to encourage people to get out of their house and wander around strange neighborhoods while not looking at where they're going. Especially in your hometown. I hear you're getting some company in the near future.
Yep. Well, near future being like, you know, a few weeks. But yeah, I'm excited about it.
I just think it will be crowded.
Well, parts of Jackson will be crowded. You gotta remember, Jacksonville is a huge town. I mean, we're like something like 800 square miles.
Well, I'm gathering by your descriptions of your restaurant that you are not in the downtown area that they will likely be having events in.
Correct.
Okay, that's good. So you will not be affected by large crowds of people, which not my thing. I was in Charlotte for Southeast Linux Fest, and that was just before the convention was set to happen there. And I remember they were preparing for it.
You were there. 747 square miles of land. Another 127 square miles of water in Jacksonville.
But someday I will visit Jacksonville, but not during a convention, or at least a large convention. So good luck with that, by the way. Moving along, there is an interesting article about bringing Twitter direct messages into the new Android 11 conversation API, which we mentioned is a integration with a dedicated pane in the notification shade. The idea being that your conversation should notify differently than your apps.
Wow.
Well, which makes sense on some level for you to say, these are people talking to you. This is your app telling you something's going on. But again, I'll wait to see how I like that. Apparently, Android Auto may be regaining its calendar integration.
It lost it?
When they did the rethink of the UI, they realized that certain things were a bit busy, so they did take that one off, and you instead got a button that if you press the button, it would read you information from your calendar. Apparently, they're working on improving the calendar integration. So, because right now, the only thing that it will tell you calendar-related on Android Auto is Google Maps will suggest that you navigate to events on your calendar. But no. So I'm interested to see what they do with it.
I'm excited.
That, there are a few events that I do not want to appear in my car that are actually on my calendar.
Sure.
I have a recurring event that reminds me what day it is I'm supposed to pay my credit card bill. I don't want my car to be reminding me of that. But again, neither here nor there. In other news, the PineTab tablet is available for pre-order.
Ooh, how much? $100?
Would you order a PineTab tablet? Hmm. It's a Linux-based tablet. The people at Pine are the people who do all these interesting Linux-based devices. It's a 10.1-inch, 1280 by 800 pixel quad-core tablet that ships with Ubuntu Touch pre-installed and supports other Linux distributions. It's priced at just $100, and it's available for pre-order, and it should begin shipping to customers in late July.
Interesting. I wouldn't buy it, but merely because of the display resolution.
Well, for me, the biggest problem I have with a lot of tablets is that you don't get a USB port. Now, for $100, if I was able to use this, let's say, with some more conventional apps, I'm thinking of, lately I've been thinking of, because I've been on there a lot lately, and a little tablet that I could either plug an external camera and microphone into using their USB port or use the built-in one sounds like it's not a bad thing to have around, and that I can install full apps on instead of limited ones. But who knows? They're saying that they plan to offer optional add-on modules that let you add a SATA SSD, LTE and GPS board, a LoRa module, or an RTL SDR module. So who knows? They've just said don't expect stellar performance.
Of course.
Yeah, well, it is a $100 tablet with a low power processor. Now, if you want to try something a little different in the Pine market, there's the Pine Phone that we've mentioned before, but the previous versions of the Pine Phone you can get did not come with a pre-installed operating system. However, they are offering one with the post-market OS community edition, which is for $150, you can get your Pine Phone that includes a pre-installed OS.
Wow.
So the Pine Phone is a Linux-friendly phone with specs including a quad-core Cortex processor, 2 gigabytes of RAM, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, camera, headphone jack, removable battery, micro SD card reader, and it is priced at $150. So one of these products I may get at some point just as a play item. I don't know when because we are in the time of, let's say I'm going to play less, but I still I have my weaknesses. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
Even when I say I'm going to not spend money on things, sometimes I do anyway.
I understand that. I can sympathize.
If you want another reason to use Meet over Zoom, they have added AI-powered noise cancellation.
That's actually kind of interesting.
Yeah, they can. I just love the because it reminds me of this show. AI can remove dog barks, taps, and other background noise on your video chats.
Wow.
Yes, I can just imagine you having a video chat and seeing whether or not the dog barks would be removed.
Yes, because the dogs do sometimes bark in my background.
Yes, that's why I'm saying I've never had a problem with it. It hasn't overwhelmed the show. I'm just saying it would be interesting to see if this actually works. I keep ending up, as everybody is now more increasingly on these conference calls because we can't have meetings, for which to some degree I'm partially thankful because meetings in person are painful sometimes, not physically, like emotionally painful. But there was one meeting recently where someone had forgotten to mute their microphone and there were loud baby cries in the background to the point at which the person talking had to raise their voice. And at least three of us, from what I found out later, were frantically sending side messages to the person who left their microphone open trying to get their attention.
Hot mic, hot mic. Yep.
They were busy with the aforementioned baby.
Which is why it's nice to have an admin that's paying attention so that he can mute said person.
Well, that's where the interesting problem was. The meeting is a recurring meeting that was set up 6 months ago, and the person who set up the meeting is an attendant, who therefore has hosting capabilities, isn't attending because they're on maternity leave. I suggested after that maybe we wanted to schedule a different meeting that somebody who is currently attending might be able to manage, rather than just joining a meeting that's on the calendar where the host will not be moderating because they are not even working right now. Things happen. Otherwise, let's see, Twitter will start asking you to read articles before retweeting them. That should be a given. You shouldn't be sharing anything with anybody unless you've actually looked at it yourself.
However, I find it hilarious. I wish they had stats.
I find it hilarious that
retweet an article without ever having read it, especially in today's climate where headlines can and do proclaim something that is completely opposite of what the article itself says.
Well, yeah, sensationalism.
That's not what I'd call it, but okay.
I'm going with the underlying motivation. They want to get people to read the article, so they will just say whatever.
I don't think that's the motivation, but I can't read people's minds.
Money. Okay. All I'll say about it is I find it, like you, amusing that Twitter felt like they needed to do this because of people's behavior. But I'm going to say good on them. They're saying, we've noticed that you aren't actually reading these articles before you share them. Wouldn't you like to actually do that? So for responding to an observation that I'm assuming that they made with stats that they have with an actual option to try to improve the world, the Twitter world.
I find it hilarious. I don't know if I support it or not, but I find it hilarious.
I support their efforts to make the world a better place. I don't know how much the world will be a better place by this, but I approve of them doing something like this in a positive way. Finally, in a depressing note, T-Mobile Sprint merger promised that they would give 11,000 new jobs, and apparently now they're just laying people off. So part of that may be due to the current economic crisis, but it is.
Yeah, it's not like they lied. You know, conditions changed.
Yeah, I'm more saying that it seems like all of these mergers promise benefits for the general public, but it never seems to go that way. I'm not blaming them this time because maybe it would have been different if the world was in a different place. I'm just saying that even if the world wasn't in a different place, this is what usually happens. Now, Stop the Cap, who wrote that story, is admittedly biased.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they are biased because, again, they have their particular point of view. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying they do have them. So either way, it is sad. And as I said, it does seem to happen every time an organization merges. They promise benefits and they don't deliver. Again, it is excusable in the current environment. However, my comment is it might have happened otherwise. Either way, I am going to tell you that I am no longer a stockholder of Sprint. I have divested myself.
Good.
Well, it hit a really high number when the merger got approved, so I got out. I actually made money, which is rare for me in the stock market because I am not a very good investor. But that's me. I'm still depressed about my JCPenney stock.
Yeah. You know, JCPenney is one of my wife's favorites.
Yeah, but when I bought it, it was much more expensive than it is now, and now they're declaring bankruptcy, so I seriously doubt that it will ever be worth as much as I paid for it.
Chapter 7 or Chapter 13?
Forget what they're doing. Either way, it's just one of those things where I've come to the conclusion that...
Maybe Chapter 11.
Liquidation sales at 136 locations across the country. 1 out of 6 stores. Let's see. They are reporting that their closings... here's a complete list of 154 stores that are set to close. Liquidation will begin on June 17th, which is today. And they have a whole frequently asked questions. Why is my local store closing?
Because not enough people shop there.
By the way, the Regency Square Mall in Jacksonville, Florida is losing its JCPenney. Is that the one you go to?
No, but that mall, the entire mall is dying. So that's not a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. So they are shutting down a lot of JCPenney. I am, again, as somebody who still has stock that is not worth selling, I am sad. As a customer, I have bought some nice products there over the years, but I guess I didn't shop enough there either. So that brings us to the end of our program. There was a new release of Home Assistant, which I didn't mention, and I forgot to put into the rundown that came out. They're all the way up to version 0.111, where they are improving the load of the front end by starting the front end in the API server before all the integrations are loaded so that the system will not be completely unresponsive for several minutes while it loads everything. So it will start responding and then loading up the integrations.
Okay.
I look forward to see what's next because one of my favorite pull requests that I've been monitoring for Home Assistant is getting really close to being shipped. And I'm hoping the next version that I will get my generic hygrometer.
I don't know what that is.
Well, in this case, excuse me, not hygrometer, it would be hygrostat. So a generic humidity control similar to their generic temperature control that create. So the generic temperature control creates a virtual thermostat. This would create a hygrostat, which would be a humidity sensor. So I have a humidity sensor and a plug hooked into my humidifier, and I like the idea of being able to control it with a nice simple interface instead of the logic I'm using now. So there is a custom component that does this, but that will... the person who wrote it has been contributing the code and has said that it will be discontinued as soon as that's merged into core. It is the wrong time of year for me to be using my humidifier, but something to look forward to.
Okay, cool.
So any projects from your end?
Nope, nothing to speak of.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm a boring guy. Job, work, and my the last week has been kind of rough here. My wife's brother died, and it has been pretty much as you would expect.
I'm sorry to hear that. Please express my sympathies, even though I have never actually spoken to your wife.
Thank you very much, and I will.
Please also express my apologies for taking you away from other things for the last decade or so.
It's all right. She's glad that I have somebody else that I talk to that's, you know, not work.
Always happy to talk to you.
And I, so, you, my friend, and I, you.
And that brings us to the end of this program for this week. Should I give a plug for the upcoming event that I am apparently involved in?
Yes, please.
On the 27th and 28th, normally every year, for the last 4 years, I've attended the Indie Web Summit in Portland, Oregon. It's been canceled. And enough people were depressed about it that there will be an event called Indie Web Camp West, which is not a summit because it was felt that we could not replicate that event, but we will be doing an online event, we being the community, since I am a member of the Indie Web community, which is a group of people who believe in having websites for yourself instead of putting all of your content on other people's websites, such as Reddit or Facebook or Twitter. That doesn't mean you can't have your content there. It just means have it somewhere that you actually control. So there, it will be a fun weekend of meeting up online to share ideas, create and improve your personal websites, build on other people's creations, and there will be a dinner. So to kick off the event, there will be the evening before, there will be a dinner where you will be bringing your own food because no one's getting together in person. So hopefully that will not be a bad experience.
I bet it will be fine.
Well, I've never tried to eat dinner on Zoom. So I figured I would attend this event. I'm going to lay out a table, you know, tablecloth, place setting, and see how it works out. I have not picked a menu yet. I do not know what one eats on a Zoom conversation. I'll figure it out. I have 10 more days. But if anybody's interested, attendance is obviously free because you don't have to go anywhere or do anything. Although there are tickets, but they're free.
Cool.
Need something to look forward to.
Yep. Don't we all?
I look forward to hanging around because, as I commented jokingly earlier, my social calendar may be actually more full with people who move their in-person meetings to Zoom than it was beforehand, because to attend a New York City meetup of any sort of group, I would have to go half all the way into Manhattan, and that's like a, you know, 2 to 2.5 hour journey when you consider that, you know, first you have to get on the commuter rail, then you have to change to the subway, and then you have to walk, and it's just sometimes after a long day at work, I'm not in the mood for doing that. Whereas after a long day at work, I am perfectly in the mood to sit in the chair I would have been sitting in anyway and have a nice conversation. So the pandemic has worked out in one way for me. Not in a lot of other ways, but in the way that people are willing to hang around and have conversations on the internet because they can't have them in person.
I find that I run into a similar experience, but I don't find it a good thing.
Well, it depends on the group. I have a standing, since we've changed the time of this program to work around it, I have a standing meeting now on Wednesdays where that meeting used to happen once a month. People have decided to have it once a week until things calm down a bit. So I've been scheduling the recording with you around that. So it gives me something to do.
Thank you.
And again, you come first. So if you were unavailable, I would tell them that I was busy, which would be very disappointing if there's a repeat of last week where somebody forgot that we needed somebody to host the event and start the Zoom and no one remembered to do it. So I did it. So I somehow hosted an event that I didn't know I was attending or hosting last week. This week I made sure that that I knew who exactly was hosting that meeting so that I could give them send them an email in the event that they forgot. On that note, until next week.
Until next week. Bye, folks.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.